Welcome back to the She Said podcast with Amy and Lisa, episode 30. Here we are.
And it's never a dull week of not trying out new things.
It is what crazy.
What has happened with you? I don't think I've talked to you all week.
Because you don't answer my calls.
Oh, that's right.
By the way, let's talk about that for just a minute.
Oh, God.
Your voicemail, I called you 2 days ago, I think.
Yeah.
Your voicemail says, I will, if you'll leave me a quick text message, I will get right back to you.
Sooner.
There's no response. That was 2 days ago. You don't even know I called texted.
I'm definitely a type B personality. I've decided, it's weird because I have little traits of type A in certain ways, but there was a video I shared about that and it was like things that my type B personality would like drive my type A friends like out of the room. And there were just so many things that I could relate with, that being one of them. I mean, I have 55,000 pictures and 17,000 unread emails, not work. I mean, if it's work, I take care of it, but yeah, I just get distracted.
That what it is?
That's why you love me.
Well, is it? I said as I was driving when your voicemail came, I'm like, that is such a lie. She doesn't even start to get back to me. So I'll give a quick update on my dad because we were just there today.
It's so exciting.
It's really crazy. First of all, his legs look amazing.
And we're talking about the neuropathy clinic.
Tulsa.
Mm-hmm. So
he's just finished his third week of treatments, which is twice a week, and he'll go for 12 weeks. It's just astounding after three treatments where he is pain-wise. He's not having electric shocks down his legs like he was. He still has some pain, like the bottoms of his feet hurt, which is probably nerve endings and all the nerves firing back up. He has a lot of itching, which is obviously nerves coming back.
Yeah.
They rubbed alcohol on the top of his feet because, they give injections of vitamins into the nerve, or not really into the nerve, but underneath the skin to try to get nourishment to the nerves in his feet. They did the cotton wipe today before the injection, and he felt it today, which he hadn't been able to feel, which is only six treatments.
Jeez. No, is that now, right? Six. You said something to me about a sore that had healed.
Yeah, so he bumped into his dresser, a couple months ago. And, it wasn't healing. It was constantly always kept something on it. And then they've wrapped it with gauze while he's there because they can't do treatment on an open wound. And so I saw it last Friday because I rewrapped his leg. I went over yesterday to go to the doctor with him. And he said, he pulled down his sock and said, look at my leg. And I looked at it and I thought, I don't know what I'm looking at because there was nothing there. And he said, those marks where my leg was cut open. And I was like, oh my gosh, Dad, they're like not even there.
That's amazing.
So it healed. Once he started getting circulation back to his legs, they just healed
and
so quickly.
He walked in without a walker, right?
Without
a cane.
We went the first time he walked in on a walker because the pain in his feet were so badly, he was just unstable. And so he was using a walker to walk. Today he walked in, no walker, no cane or anything.
I mean, if that didn't tell you to check it out.
It's crazy. It really.
And they're not paying us to say anything. This is
I'm just astounded by.
That's amazing.
His demeanor. And, he's got a few issues still going on. We went to the doctor yesterday and they gave him a couple of prescriptions. So he's not fully back to where he was, 18 years ago before his chemo treatments. And also he let it go for 18 years because.
Pain relief, you see hope.
Yeah, and I see it in him. I mean, he's back to his old self,
that's
which
awesome.
Is nice. So that place is crazy.
That.
And they are truly the kindest people. I mean, I'm just always astounded when we go in there of how much they remember my name. And obviously, my name's not in any of the files that they're going to look at. They know my dad's name because they're looking at his records. Mm-hmm. But they always remember my name and always acknowledge me, everybody, not just the one person. So.
Well,
if you have neuropathy or back pain or knee pain.
So speaking on that, yesterday we drove out of town to Oklahoma City to go see someone in the hospital. And honestly, that sciatic nerve in my leg has just been, I don't know what it, when I get in my car is when it really, really fires up or flares up. And it was miserable there. I really thought, why did I make this trip? Because this is horrible. And on the way back, I was driving and I had told Ty, I was like, look up sciatic nerve while driving, sciatic nerve pain while driving, on TikTok. And honestly, like, I just go to TikTok first because they just have the quickest, let's get to the point videos. It's not long drawn out. I just like how it's set up. I know a lot of people are like, well, I don't have that. But so this little old, this old doctor popped up. I think he's into homeopathic stuff, but he had said, if you have sciatic nerve pain, he's named it the Curtis technique. And because there's no, he's never really seen any scientific studies on it. He's never seen it taught anywhere. It's just his deal that has had so much. And the comment section was crazy because everyone's like, I did it. It worked. I've never had, for 35 years, I've had this pain. It's never. So he said, take your hand and you put it underneath in the middle of your armpit. You just touch it and then run your hand down with some pressure, maybe 4 to 5 inches. It'll be different on everybody. And you're going to suddenly feel a sore spot. Like, you'll know what he's talking about when he said, there is no, like, I think that's sore. Like, you're going to be like, holy cow, that's a little bullseye of sore. And you just press on it for 30 seconds to a minute. Like, just, and it's not a massage. It's like, you're really pressing into it to try to break up something. Sure enough, I did that. And I had zero pain on the rest of the way home. I could not even believe it. Now, that spot is really sore today, and he kind of warned of that. But he said it has something to do with fascia. You can also do it for low back pain. And if that's the case, you would do it to both sides, and you'll find a sore spot, you know, possibly. And if you don't have an issue, you might not find that spot. But I am telling you what, it worked. And we really should share his name. It was Dr. DRC. Period M. Period Curtis on TikTok. And he has so many cool things that I think anyone would find interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah. And it really is. Okay. That was something I learned that was pretty cool this week.
Do you use face tape?
No, I haven't. Now, are you talking about the kind where people wear it during the day to pull back their wrinkles? Because like, I'm real tempted to put it on my neck, behind my the back of my neck, and just pull my neck tight.
No, you wear it during the night because you know how sleeping on your side, which I'm a side sleeper, and I have a deep wrinkle on my left side to prove it. But no, you put it like around your eyes. Yeah, like
I tried it, but it drove me nuts and I didn't.
Oh, while you slept?
Yeah, yeah. Because they had said by the, they actually said the Equate brand tape works really, really well. And they put the castor oil underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
And just for me, I mean, the feeling kind of drove me crazy. Not to say I wouldn't do it again. And I have the scar tape too. But you know, it's just one more thing we talk about doing and then I don't. But well, did you try it?
No, it's on the way. I ordered it. It's coming.
Good. Well, the Dollar Tree had sold the scar tapes that you could do. Otherwise, I've wondered about using the Winkies. Is that what they're called?
I don't know.
It's tape that really does stay and it's more solid and helps spread out
the wrinkles. And
yeah,
stuff.
I can't remember if that's what it's called.
Yeah, because I catch myself at night. It keeps me awake because I tuck my hands underneath my face and then I'm like, no, don't do that.
Yes.
And then I move it and then I can't get comfortable. And so I'm anxious to try it. So it arrives tomorrow, Thursday.
Yeah. Consistency, they say, is the key. So
I'm going to see. I'm excited to try it.
Well, I definitely have more on my right side than I do my left side.
Mine's
the left. It's obvious. So
speaking of sleeping, I've been dreaming about my mom.
Well, lucky.
Is that good?
I think that you're very lucky. I would do anything.
Hard though when you wake up in the morning. So I had one first, which was she was healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And
long pause.
Anyway, okay. And then I had one where she was sick. And it's like, you wake up and it's like, it's real. Mm-hmm. And then you're just like, well, shoot, I need to talk to her. Mm-hmm. It's the hardest thing ever. So I don't know if I'm lucky or not. I mean, I'm glad I'm dreaming about her, but boy, it brings back.
Oh, it does.
So many crazy things. But that's just been recently. And I don't know if it's because I'm spending so much time with my dad because he's coming over here for treatments and, you know, we talk about her all the time. I mean, everything. It's just so funny how anything that comes up, he always brings up, you know, your mom liked that or, you know, your mom would have done that or it's all, you know, it's just constant. So I don't know if it's because it's just we're talking about her so much and we can talk about her now and not cry. And I think that helps too. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I've had two of them right in a row.
I think it's awesome.
Oh, man. It gets me though. So
I think they're little God winks and remind you that she's there with you. But it's hard.
Yes, it is. Boy, it's a new. I mean, I dreamt a lot about her after she, during the sickness and after she first passed away. but it was always about everything going on. It wasn't specifically about her. It was mm-hmm. either about in the hospital or right. in skilled nursing. But this is the first time it was actually, she was there and I was talking to her and she was talking back, and it's a whole other, a level of grief. You know, there's so mm-hmm. many levels, and that's just another one. So,
yes, so many levels, and we get through it day by day.
But it's, boy, it's like you think you're good, and mm-hmm. then that just throws you back into this tailspin that you can't get out of.
I keep thinking I'll make it to the cemetery, and I just can't. I cannot bring myself to sit there yet. And that's so crazy.
I haven't been either.
So
my dad won't all right. go. Yeah, they're not there. So
no. So it's all right. We'll get there. Mm. But I'm glad you're dreaming about her. It's a gift, I yeah. think. So
well,
they had a, just speaking of people sick and in the hospital, and when we went to go see these friends in the hospital, it just reminded me again of how important it is, because this woman does an incredible job advocating for her family member. And like, I've really never seen anything like it. It's just, don't be scared to say what you feel, an idea, just an idea, because her ideas worked. And fortunately, and it really was an idea the doctors could have come up with on their own, but they didn't. They were just doing what the protocol was, and this is how we're going to do it. And actually would have made the patient more miserable than they already were. And because this woman was wise enough to bring up what she knew has worked in the past, and it took a whole team of doctors to figure it out, but they did it. They did it for the benefit of the patient. And it just, again, the importance of opening your mouth and advocating for whoever you can in that time of need. Otherwise, you'll just kind of get run over.
When you have somebody in the hospital, you have to have a family member there.
All the time.
All the time.
And better, yeah.
I mean, I think about my mom. I mean, I sat there all day long, and the number of times I got called a nurse, or the number of times I got up and went and found somebody, I'm like, can we do this, this, and this? Mm-hmm. Because she's not doing well the way you're doing it. Or,
no.
I mean, I'm the one that said she needs a PICC line in her arm, because they had gotten to yeah. where they were poking her 3 and 4 times to yeah. try to get blood.
That's what it's this like, had to do about, actually, was stuff like that. I'm like,
why yeah. are we doing that? Let's get a PICC line.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, they get one, but mm-hmm. you have to mm-hmm. ask it. They don't just automatically do it, because the nurses can't make that call. They no. got to call a doctor. Mm-mm. And they're not going to make
it. A lot of times the nurses want to, but they got to get it past the doc. They know what they need to do, because yeah. they're seeing the patients constantly. And again, it reminds me to remind people, if you have somebody that's going to be in there for an extended amount of time, make a poster to put behind their bed that talks about who that person is. I think that was probably one of the greatest things I did for my mom, was I'd made a piece of paper, said her name. It talked about what she had done right before she, you know, got that bowel obstruction. She had been to yoga. It talked about her. She was a registered nurse. She had X amount of grandkids, so many kids. And it made her a person and not a room member and not an age, mm-hmm. because they would have treated her like an 84-year-old mm-hmm. instead of what she truly was at heart mm-hmm. and physically. Mm-hmm. Because you could just see it just changed everyone's demeanor when they kind of got, they were like, oh, wow. Oh, so she's a nurse. Well, this is why she kind of knows what we're doing to her and is as involved as she could be, because yeah, she wasn't an idiot.
Yeah.
I mean, she knew what was going on. She just couldn't speak it out.
It's like my mom was 89, but she just quit working the year before.
Yeah.
And so we would tell them that.
Yes.
She just was work, because they treated her like she was acting. She was the person she was in the hospital that she was at home, which that wasn't the truth. Right. She was metabolically changed in the hospital mm-hmm. with all the medication and everything. And so we would say, you know, she worked up until a year ago full time. The woman is not.
Mm-mm. He worked until he loved to substitute teach high school. And he was a great teacher. And he fell in that parking lot when his legs just kind of finally quit from stenosis and things like that. But he worked until the day he went into just care, like until he couldn't work anymore, literally. But he kept him going.
Yeah, that's how my mom was.
He truly enjoyed it. Any of those students are out there, just know you guys meant the world to him. Y'all made his day every day. Him getting to make an impression on them was really important. We're not sad anymore.
I know. We got to get past
it. So I burnt the heck out of my finger this week on my toaster oven, because, you know, I cook via toaster oven mm-hmm. when I cook. And I'd hit the burner. Like the red hot burner on my knuckle. So immediately it ashed my knuckle was an ash. So I had mustard out already to do something else. And so I rubbed my mustard on it. You see that? Not a single mark. This was 3 days ago. There's no burn. There's no nothing. So Rubbing mustard on a burn is truly the best thing you can ever do to make that go away.
Well, that's funny because I have just looked at this week. Mustard oil, put it on your eyebrows. They make them grow and darker.
Oh.
And I need some help with my eyebrows.
Man, I will
and
say
also your hair.
My downfall.
Your eyebrows?
Yes.
Plucking them or?
No, they're just kind of thinning out.
Oh, well, yeah. Try that with losing all of them through chemo. They don't come back healthy and hearty.
So where do we get mustard oil?
I like that. I don't know, but probably any like health food store, you can probably just buy mustard oil.
Okay. That's going to be, I'm starring that on my list because I'm going to do that.
I am too. And also turmeric, everything's yellow. Turmeric and yogurt on your face for brown spots and aging spots. I've seen pictures of it. I'm afraid to try it because you literally
have some good turmeric at home.
You literally turn the color of turmeric, which stains.
It's like a self-tanner.
Yeah, so I don't know if you'd want to be that color of tan because it's more of a yellow, but it supposedly really works. So Greek yogurt and turmeric.
Okay, so Greek yogurt.
Yeah.
Greek plain yogurt. Okay, writing that down.
You smear that all over your face.
So you really do just sit in here and share ways, you know. It was funny because on that Shay Rossi has this thing going on. I guess they're talking about all kinds of menopause stuff. I guess, I don't know if the whole Fox 23 team is going through menopause, but they're
probably because they're all in their 40s, 50s.
Yeah, so they're
50s.
All making, I mean, they're really focusing on that and bringing attention and awareness to it. And, but somebody was like, because she had done a picture, a very vulnerable picture of her showing her thinning hair and how much the powder she uses helps, makes a difference. Because she's really had thinning hair through her process and it's been difficult on her. And some lady was like, just embrace the gray hairs. And several people said that. And I'm like, that's great. But, I'd actually commented. I'm like, I come from the mindset of use that hair color and Botox.
Do whatever
all
you need
want
to
make you happy. I don't know. I don't like when people say, just embrace it. Like, just deal with it. No.
No.
You can embrace yours. I'm choosing not to because that's what makes me happy. So, yeah, I'm like, I guess to each their own. So, but I'm interested to watch their series on it because it looks like they're really getting down and serious
being
with
honest
going
about
on.
It.
Yeah. And bringing attention to it, even to men that don't know what's going on.
Don't understand
it. Lord, I don't even know what to expect. So, it's helpful to me.
I just read recently that menopause can start as early as 35.
There's a lot of women on there saying they started it. One lady was 28 years old and then she was forced into a hysterectomy. And then she was like, she's like, that has been the single worst thing I ever could have done for myself was that hysterectomy. And I have other friends like that too, that have had hysterectomies. And now they're just battling this hysterectomy thing.
It's the worst thing you can go through. Well, we were just talking about it earlier about hormone replacement and having a hysterectomy and you go from zero or from, 1,000 to zero over like in seconds, you go into deep menopause, postmenopause. That's the hardest thing ever. It's hard on your hips. It's hard on your bones. It's tough on your cardiovascular system. It's just, we need hormones. Obviously, that's why we were all born with hormones. And so the fact that we deplete so quickly, even through menopause, or if you do have a hysterectomy, what it does to your body is shocking.
Well, and somebody said, what people don't understand is that men, their testosterone, I guess, renews every 24 hours, whereas our hormones take 28 days.
Right.
So we couldn't be more opposite.
Which explains so much.
Right. So that's why we have so many hills and valleys and just so much. We're very complicated childbearing creatures.
Well, exactly. And the fact that, men always talk about women are crazy. We're not crazy. It's hormone levels, like the baby blues after you have a baby because your hormones are now all over the place. Mm-hmm. And I did read somewhere that if a man went through a hormone depletion like a woman does, he'd be hospitalized.
100%.
They couldn't take it. And so the fact that we go through it, and we probably act crazy, but it's not our own, it's not like we're crazy. It's truly hormones just bouncing everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the hardest thing to deal with. And it affects your hair, it affects your nails, it affects your skin. We have hormones for a reason. And then when they're gone, we want our bodies to keep functioning at the level they were with hormones, and it just physically cannot.
Ooh, I'm not looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's not fun. I see poor women having hot flashes, and you see their hair just soaking wet around their face, and I just feel so bad for them.
And I don't think everybody goes through that, thank God. I think some people kind of...
Well, everybody has different levels of how they deal with some people.
But I see this all the time. They're talking about these wet beds and I'm like, holy moly, it's me out.
I didn't go through any of it.
Knock on wood.
Well, yeah, it depends. Everybody's different. Yeah. And so you just never know what how your symptoms are going to respond. But I went...
I rebuke it.
I went... I had the hysterectomy and then started chemo. So I never had any symptoms. I don't know if the chemo just burned up all the symptoms. So I didn't really have any of the plummet like you feel where it's just like you go into deep depression and you... I did get all the achy joints and I kept saying my hips hurt because of my hysterectomy. And then finally someone said, no, your hips hurt because you don't have any hormones. God. And it's like crazy really? What your body goes through and what we have to go through as women to deal with it all.
Uh-huh. Well, hopefully that's going to all change because I think there's way more attention being brought to it.
Finally, I think so. And then now they just took the black label off the hormone replacement therapy. Mm-hmm. So proving that it does not cause cancer. Where for since the 80s is when that test was or the trial was done where mm-hmm. it was actually done on our synthetic hormones, not hormone replacement, which is HRT. And so now after all these years, these women have suffered with no hormones because they were told it can cause cancer. Now they have the FDA just took the black label off of those. They don't cause cancer. And it's been proven over and over. But no one believed it. And so now maybe women can actually start getting help earlier in life. Than having to go through all those crazy symptoms.
Yeah, they, I think I, this is probably the most I've even like put into talking about it because I feel like if I don't talk about it,
it won't happen.
It won't happen. No, it won't.
You just wait, sister.
No, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. It's not happening.
Oh, man.
Well, we had a happy note. And so when I was a little girl, I had this little ladybug pin. And it's hard to imagine. I mean, really, it looks just like a ladybug. But it was like a ladybug necklace and a ladybug pin. But it burned up in our house fire. And I've not thought about that probably since 1985. I kind of forgot it. But I'd seen this post come up that this girl was wearing this little ladybug like on her sleeve. And then you could move it to your collar, your shoulder. And it's really just a little conversation piece. But it brought me so much joy to see it. I don't know. I can't explain it. But anyways, I ordered it. But I had to go to Etsy to find it. But when I saw it, it was like locally owned company. And I was like, oh my gosh. So, and she's from Tulsa. So I was like, oh, so her Etsy page is Gabrielle and Co. And she makes these little bitty tiny little play bugs. But because even at the hospital, this lady had a clip on that held all her tags. And it was a cutout of her hamster. And we got to talking about it. And she was like, it's just a conversation piece. And it makes people happy. It doesn't make anybody mad when they see it. It just brings a smile to, like, I think we need more of that. So if you'll see me with my ladybug pin, it is nostalgic for me.
That's great because it just reminds you of your childhood.
I think my great aunt is the one who gave that little set to me when I was little. So, and I'm almost thinking it was probably Avon or something because would buy me Avon perfume and things like that.
I could see them having something like that too.
Yeah. I wish I knew. I wish I still had it, but you'll see me with the ladybug next time.
Well, that's cute. I like it. Well, more good news. I just found out there's a test out there called the Galleri test.
Uh-huh. Never heard of it.
Well, I hadn't either, but it's a blood test.
Yeah.
Blood draw. It has to be prescription. So you have to get it somebody like primary care or an oncologist if you're someone that's had cancer. But it can detect up to 30 different kinds of cancers in your blood before you have symptoms, which, you know, we all know the sooner you can be detected, the sooner you can figure out what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
It saves lives. You know, think about it. One of the tests that it can detect is pancreatic cancers, which is, you know, one of the deadliest forms because by the time symptoms happen, you're so far gone that the survival rate of a pancreatic cancer patient is pretty, pretty low. And so it'll also, it'll detect that. It'll detect uterine cancer, which nothing else detects that. That's why I have to go get a pelvic every year because there's no other way to detect it if it's spread and that will detect it. So, I mean, I don't know like what you do when you find out. That's up to you to decide. Do you go see an oncologist? What do you do? In my case, obviously, I've got to figure out then I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it for sure. It's been 8 years. My cancer, I shouldn't have survived 8 years with the type of cancer I had.
Yeah.
So the fact that I have, I mean, I've worked really hard to survive.
Yeah.
Eating clean and doing everything right. But I still want to know because then I can figure out Mm-hmm. What do I do next? What's my next step? Mm-hmm. Instead of waiting till I have symptoms and then what do you do?
You're not wrong. Yeah.
So I'm going to try. I got to figure out. I don't know if my oncologist, if I call them and have them order one, because it has to be ordered from a prescription. So
wow.
We'll see. But anyway, that's good news. That's for people.
Mm-hmm.
One, that have had cancer that you're always worrying about, has it spread?
Yeah.
Which I worry about on a daily basis. Everything I do in my life, I gauge it around, will it cause cancer? Will it cause my cancer to spread? Will it, everything I do. So if I can have that one, you can do it annually. So if I could do it once a year, just for my own peace of mind, at least it gives me 24 hours of peace of mind before I start worrying again that it's, you know,
I can't imagine. Coming back. I had a little taste of what that phone call would have felt like, because I had that little, I had that little bitty cyst taken out of the inside of my lip. So if my lip looks swollen, it's because I still have little stitches in my inside of my lip. But I had it 35 years ago, and I mean, it was a nothing deal, but I didn't really know they were sending it off to test it. I probably should have known better that they were doing it. And it's funny because Ty even had the same thing 2 years ago, and he had one taken out of the same exact place on the lip. So
wow.
I know, I don't know. So anyways, all it kind of came back, but they took it out. But they called today and they're like, hey, this is such and such from wherever. And we were calling you back with the lab results of your little cyst or whatever it was they took out. And I was just like, what? Like, first of all, I didn't know they were testing it. I'm like, it's taking you way too long to cut to the chase here. So what's going on in there? It was benign and all that. But I thought, ooh, that just kind of, because I remember everything just kind of stood still for a minute. Because I was like, what the crap? I was not expecting any phone call about it, because I thought we were just cut out and done. I should have known better. But
yeah, anybody that's ever had any scare like that, and you're waiting for that phone call, and then when the phone call happens,
I cannot imagine.
That's what you live with every day once you've had cancer. It's that same.
Yeah.
Anxiety that just eats at the back of your brain all day long, every day.
Well, and you know, we were talking about hair loss. We've talked about it on several things, just from cancer. Well, also menopause, because I noticed in this Shea Rossi thing, a lot of people have talked about their hair loss. Mm-hmm. And something they have talked about is taking 2 to 3 Brazil nut a day has like really improved the thickness of people's hair. And then I came across that Dr. Curtis, who talked about the same thing, taking Brazil nuts, even for brain fog, menopause brain, all kinds of things. I'm like, oh, so people need to kind of dig into this selenium and Brazil nuts and all that, because it seems like there's a little something to it.
I looked into it for my thyroid several months ago, and I started taking them, because one Brazil nut is your daily dose of selenium that you need every day. In one Brazil nut.
So even my kids should take it.
I think it's not going to hurt anybody to take it. Yeah. You only need one a day. If you can keep yourself to eating one a day. I love them. So it's like I ate more than one a day. But
that's why your hair is looking so fluffy and full. That's funny, because I commented on that like last week or 2 weeks ago.
I started buying them about, whenever I did the my last blood work and saw that my thyroid numbers were so out of whack. Mm-hmm. I started researching what can I do naturally, because I didn't want to take thyroid medicine, and so far, so good. But so I started just doing some digging to see what I could take that might be natural. And that was one thing that you're supposed to take, is selenium. And so I ordered a bottle of it. And then as I kept reading, they said, really, if you ate one Brazil nut a day, you would get the daily dose of selenium. I'd rather eat a Brazil nut than take another supplement and take an 800 of them as is.
Yeah.
So, it's literally one a day is all you need.
Do they taste bad? Are they chalky?
Have you ever had them?
I can't think of it.
Brazil
nut? Those look like little toes?
Yeah, the long with the brown on the outside and the white on the inside.
And they kind of curve a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love Brazil nuts.
Yeah. That's all it is one of those.
Okay.
They have containers of them. Like, I don't know. They're not cheap, but, you know, like a in the nut section at Resource.
Okay.
And they're really good. They're already cut. You don't have to worry about, because those shells are hard to break, but these are already, they're out of the shell.
Well, I know what I'm going to go
just
get
raw
today.
Brazil nuts. Yeah, they're good. Nut. And now I wonder, because I told you guys several months ago that my hairdresser commented on how thick my hair was, but I thought it was because I'm taking, you know, all the peptides. But now I wonder if it wasn't the Brazil nuts.
Mm-hmm. Makes you wonder.
Yeah.
Huh.
So, they work.
I did see this lady was talking about her husband did he's 40 years old, was going through a whole interview process for a new job. Yeah. And the topic of it is, are companies stealing ideas from the interviewees? And what she was saying was made so much sense. He had gone through, you know, multiple people had gone through the fifth follow-up, interview, the sixth one. And then the final question was like, hey, we're very interested, but we need to know, how would you handle this scenario? What would your plan be? And it wasn't like answered on the spot. It was, you have a week to prepare. She called it a deck. And I mean, I'm not had to interview for
a marketing deck, yeah. Probably.
So that he had to prepare all this stuff. And she was like, he spent so many hours getting it right. The nerves, all that. Presented it to an entire board of people who all sit there and look and act interested, ask questions. And then she was like, he was ghosted. And she's like, and this is not the first time. This has happened now with multiple companies. And she said, I have come to the conclusion that these companies are stealing the ideas of these interviewees so they don't have to pay an employee, and they're taking their ideas. And I'm
so
like,
wrong.
I know. And it really makes perfect sense. So some people said, well, they had kind of determined that a long time ago themselves, and they had started putting a watermark on their whatever it is they bring. This is also a disclaimer. It says this is for interview process only, that you do not have permission to use this or that for whatever. But I'm like, man, that is something to think about for people that are in this process. So many people are looking for jobs, mm-hmm. that, I mean, that could be what's happening.
I would definitely it up with my
yeah.
branding all over it. So they'd have to either rewrite it or
yeah.
they couldn't use what you bring in, because that's really tacky.
Yeah. But I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Because some people were like, cheaper. I don't want to work for any company that's calling multiple people back for 5 and 6 interviews. And like, it just doesn't. That means they can't make decisions anyway. Mm-hmm. So like, oh, that's something to think about. Anyways, this are we world. About out of time?
We are
I feel
out
like
of time.
Time's flying. We've talked about a million things today. So
we are out of time.
I think everyone has that ping pong brain anyway. They like to keep it fast and snappy.
It's true.
Okay, well, we'll see y'all for number 31. Follow and like and share and be our friends.
Yeah.
See y'all later.